The question was asked, how should a person in the gear process deal with their family members who might be uneasy or disagreeing or challenging or hurt or threatened by the move that someone has made to go in the direction of gear? Now, the first answer is that this is case specific. That it's it really, you know, you have to judge case by case. But there are general guidelines, and here it would help if a person consults with a Rav who has experience, and I stress that point. It's not enough that a person has learned it. It's also important to have experience in this area, because the challenges are big, and the challenges don't end when a person has done Giyur or emigrated to Israel. There are certain challenges that are lifelong challenges. And perhaps we should start with the end and go back to the beginning. And I want us to take a leap forward to two or three topics we should ponder. Let's move forward past your Giyur to you getting married and having children. And those children having grandparents who aren't Jewish. And this can be that they're atheist, or this can be that they believe in all kinds of other things. So let's just analyze that for a minute. That's a challenge that a person will have to face. And then the question is, how do you face that challenge? So I'm leaving that hanging for a second. Let's look at challenge number two. Person has converted, and now what will their parents say about them? How disrespectful is he? He doesn't care. He doesn't call. And then let's look at challenge number three. A parent comes to Israel, and what I'm sharing with you now is the experience of seeing people go through the process. I've been accompanying Geirim for over a decade now. So I've learned something in that decade. Challenge number three is a person has converted and they're observant and life is going well, and suddenly their grandmother comes to visit, and their grandmother is a devout Christian, and their grandmother is respectful, and then their grandmother goes for a tour in Israel, and their grandmother wants to visit many churches and places of the like. Where does one position oneself there? Grandma, I'd love to go with you. And I'm not allowed to enter that place. So I want us to begin after we've seen the end. Now let's go back to the beginning. Okay? Step one. Our mission is not to fight theological debates. It's not our job to stand out there and defend everything about Judaism and not Judaism, etc. We probably don't have the knowledge. We've attained enough knowledge to make a decision for ourselves. That does not mean we have enough knowledge to start handling all the questions and challenges and debates that might be thrown our way. And it's legitimate to say that. I would even recommend saying that. So step one is, we're not an ambassador who must stand up for everything Jewish and defend every time someone bashes Judaism, especially if it's people who we are close to, where there are other components, other elements involved, where the lines they're going to say can definitely throw us for a spiral. So let's right away remove from ourselves the responsibility to stand up for and argue and defend what we stand for. We can be respectful of others and ask them to be respectful of us. And part of being respectful of us is if we're not interested in theological debates, then they should respect that. And my recommendation is, in general, that students should stay away from that. Learn so that you understand. Don't go out there debating. It's you need to have a breadth of knowledge, and that takes many, many years in order to answer questions. To the degree of sometimes things will be quoted and they don't even exist. It sounds funny, but that's been my experience, where people came and challenged Judaism, and sometimes people have quoted verses that just don't say in the original text. And people who haven't studied the original text don't even know that. So that's I'm saying, and you might not even know. It's not our job to stand there fighting the battles. And I think it's legitimate and recommended to make a request of family members, let's leave the theology out of it. I can respect you. You can respect me. I'm not going to try to convince you. You don't try to convince me. We don't have to spend our family gatherings on debates of whether the Jewish people are pious people or sinners, whether the way the state of Israel runs is a pious way or a sinful way, whether everyone in Israel is an apartheid state or it's the best state for Arabs in the Middle East, whether the Bible gives a basis for a New Testament or denies a basis for a New Testament. Not going there. I'm not discussing it with you. I respect you. I respect you have your opinion. I've done my research and come to a certain conclusion. I'm not saying anything about your decisions in life. I'm not being judgmental. I'm being respectful. But don't force me to enter that box of do I agree or don't I agree, and what do I agree and what don't I agree. Let's be respectful of one another and have a relationship without going there. There will be people who can do that. There will be people who can't. There will be people in the middle who will try to do that and give you this condescending smile of, you foolish imbecile, I will play along your way. There will be all of them above, and you'll have to deal with it. And it's not easy. So step one is, I don't have the responsibility to debate and to stand up for every time people put down what I stand for. It's not my responsibility. I would even encourage to say it very clearly. I'm not going there. I'm not debating it with you. Let's respect one another without going there. Step two. There is an halacha, the concept that we don't want a non-Jew saying, when my son was not Jewish, he was so respectful. And now that he converted, he has no respect. There is this element where we want to be decent towards them, even if technically they're wrong, and even if they're doing things that are wrong and inappropriate and improper. There's still an element where I'm not looking to hurt them, and on the contrary, I should be a Kiddush Hashem. So when we had a student here who was a priest who converted to Judaism, I used to sit with him, and we would write Christmas cards for his kids and send gifts, because his kids were still Christian and he had converted to Judaism. And I told him he owes it to his kids. He's still their father. He has to send them cards and he has to send them gifts. So he's not going to say something that's pro-Christian. They know he doesn't believe that. But he could still wish them they should have a happy year. They should have a blessed year. He's thinking about them. He's praying for them. That's he owes them that. Not he could. He must do that. And we would sit down and word together what's fair to write them. That would be not, on the one hand, it wouldn't enter that niche of, do I believe what you believe or not? And yet it gave them the warmth. It gave them the good feeling that their father still loves them. We worked on that. Every year we would work on that.
My wife and I had the sport to gather cards in the start of December, but only a happy feast, or not mentioning Christmas or any other feast, but just happy days like that. It was a sport for us, and to send them in the beginning of December so you don't hurt anyone.
Very nice. So that's one side of the coin. But there is another side of the coin, and that's why I presented the two stories in the end. There is the challenge that whether you like it or not, our family, our parents and grandparents can get under our skin and undermine our self-confidence and make us question and make us feel uncomfortable and hurt our way of life like no one else can. And that's the way we are. I used to volunteer in a home for abused children. And I can't forget the child who sued us in the home because we took him away from his abusive parents who would put out cigarettes on his hand, who would burn him repeatedly. And yet he sued us to go back into their custody. And it blew my mind to see how that biological connection to a parent is a part of a human being, and it doesn't matter how much logic dictates it's bad for you, it's dangerous for you, you don't know where they'll stop, and if they'll stop, it didn't stop the kid. The kid took us to court. And it's a very difficult moment. You don't want to tell the court in front of the kid how dangerous it is for him to go back. Meaning you're fighting for the kid's benefit, but you're fighting the kid for his benefit. But it taught me a lot. It taught me a lot about how we're all wired. I don't think that kid was exceptional. I think we're all hardwired so that we have an internal connection to our parents that defies logic. And even though a person will say, I made different decisions and I don't agree with them and they're wrong and they made my life so hard. And I gave you the extreme example. There's still a connection. And a person has to be aware of that. And to a certain degree, that's a weakness. Meaning, just like to this child, going back to those parents, going into their custody was a danger. A person has to realize that this is a weakness he has to contend with. And if his grandmother is going to say, I'd like to go visit churches, it's natural that it's not easy for him to tell her, Grandma, I don't go there. And this is where we have that balance, where on the one end we say, we try to be respectful. We're not interested in hurting anyone's feelings. On the other hand, we're not interested in promoting the connection the way we would be if they weren't standing antithetical to what we stand for. And here there's a difference. There are parents who, when they come to Israel, they're going to wear a necklace with a cross. They're going to walk into a person's house and bring missionary paraphernalia. They're going to do a million things that are against the move a person made. And in that case, a person really has to have a rav they consult with. How you deal with that? And I had a student whose parents were like that. And he had a brilliant idea. He lived in a yeshuv where you entered the yeshuv. There was a guard at the entrance to the yeshuv. So he told them, he said, you know, in this yeshuv, you're not allowed to bring in crosses. You're not allowed to bring in missionary paraphernalia. It's against the law. And you have to prepare a bag that when you enter the yeshuv, you leave it by the guard. And when you'll leave, when you'll go back home, you'll be able to pick it up. But you're not allowed to bring it in. And they respected that. So he met them by the guard. They took off all their crosses and everything. They took out all their paraphernalia. They left it by the guard, and they were by him for Shabbos. So he was able to minimize that aspect of it. That still doesn't say that he was able to mitigate the effects on his children. I'm saying there's a long-term thing you have to think about. And that's where we take an approach which says, I will be respectful, yet I'm not looking to promote the connection. I'm not looking to fly out there and visit them frequently. I have to develop other connections in Israel. I have to develop my family here. When a person has a situation where his parents are supportive, where his parents aren't going against what he's done, so then you think about what's the correct balance, and in either circumstance, it's recommended to consult again with someone that has experience. It's not enough someone that's learned. Here, it's a question of experience, understanding where the challenges are going to be, understanding how we can placate them without hurting ourselves. We had a student whose parents were Jewish, and they had converted, and they had become missionaries for Christianity, and he got married. And after they were married for about a year, he told me, I want to go visit my parents with my wife. And I said, no way, I think you're making the mistake of a lifetime. And he said, what's wrong? And I said, your wife is a very innocent girl who grew up in Israel and never saw too much of a Christian in her life, and she doesn't begin to understand what your house looks like. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, let's take one example. You're going to come to your parents' house and you're going to go sleeping in your bedroom. Is there a cross above your bed? So he turned red. So I said to him, if your wife walks into the room and sees a cross, she's going to think back a million times over the fact that she married you. He said to me, but I didn't hide from her where I came from. I said, that's true. But she never realized that there's a difference between theoretically hearing that this is what your parents do and walking into the house and seeing crosses. It's a different world. You want her to meet your parents for whatever reason? You want to go on vacation? Well, meet them in no man's land. Meet them at Disney World. Meet them somewhere else. Don't go to their house. It's not only a question of kashrut. It's not only a question of, can I bring my kosher food, my paper plates, my disposable silverware? Can I ensure I only eat from closed foods in the house? I open the tuna cans. It's not just a question of that. It's a question of what's the impact on your wife, on your children. You're going to show up there. Your children, when your parents visit in Israel, they're respectful of what you do. You're going to go there, they're not going to turn over their house for you. So it's not right to expose your kids to that. You want to fly to Chutz Laretz? Go to no man's land. Tell them to meet you at the Chabad house. I would say Disney World, you know, Disneyland, whatever. A theme park, great adventures. You don't want to do that? Fine, meet at the Chabad house. But meet at a no man's land. So this is where it's important that we recognize the two sides of the coin. On the one hand, we're not looking to banish them. We're not looking for them to think, that's it, my kid has nothing to do with me. He's not respectful. He doesn't care. He doesn't call to wish me a happy Father's Day. I made a mistake. Last week was Father's Day, I think, and I just didn't know. Previous years, I would always announce it's Father's Day, guys, and even though Father's Day isn't a Jewish thing, but to your parents, it means something. So call and tell them happy Father's Day. You can't just say it's not a Jewish thing. So what? There's nothing wrong with it. We don't have such guns. We say respect your father every day. But if your parents mean something, call them and tell them happy Father's Day. There's nothing wrong with that. And here, this is why I recommend that when a person converts, they have a Rebbe. Because although I've put down on the table certain aspects of the two sides of the coin, it's still a challenge. And knowing how to call the shots and how to play it out, that's a challenge. For example, a person gets married. You walk down the aisle. So the custom is that a ger does not have his biological parents walking down the aisle. But we're not going to tell them that. We're going to tell them, your job is to stand here. Your job is to hold that. If they feel close enough to come to the wedding, then we'll give them other jobs without them realizing that we've given that test to someone else. We're not going to tell them, guys, sorry, you're not Jewish, you're not walking your son down the aisle. We're going to say, by Jewish custom, you have a task to do this, that, and the other thing. Give them other tasks. I'm saying, so that's, these are things which, again, through experience, we hopefully learn how to deal with. But that's, you do have to bear in mind that you're in for the long haul in a relationship with them. And in that sense, we're looking to limit that relationship to have enough of a relationship that they won't feel like I've thrown them down the tube, I'm not interested in them, yet I'm not interested in promoting the relationship where it's going to create unnecessary challenges for me down the road. And that's a balancing act. And I'll end with a scary thought. Gerim have a huge challenge in raising their children. It's a huge challenge. And part of the challenge is if your parents are a constant in your life, then whether you like it or not, your children grow up with this feeling, there are two options, I can be Jewish or not. Because what are they going to say? My dad switched from everything his parents believed in. I could do that too. You could do it, I could do it. And so the more they feel connected to the other side, the more they're going to feel like they have two choices to make. They have to choose. Now, I as a kid always felt I had a choice to make. I always wondered whether I would be observant or not. I spent many years undecided. But most kids do not. Most kids do not grow up that way. And that's a challenge. And that's why when we build the system, part of what we're thinking about without explaining it to them is also how to balance that. So then.